This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Cherokee language is on the brink of extinction. Few fluent speakers are left, and many of them are getting older. There are many efforts to try to save the language, including summer camps, apps, and even an immersion school. But the Cherokee are up against many barriers, and the fight to preserve their native tongue has been going on for generations. Liz Schlemmer talked to two Cherokee language teachers about their work and the landscape of language preservation. She's WUNC's education policy reporter and joins us now. Welcome back, Liz.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Frank.
We should probably talk a little bit about the Eastern Band and tell us who they are, the Eastern Band of Cherokee.
The Eastern Band of Cherokee live out in far western North Carolina. If you can drive out even farther west than Asheville, out on the Koala boundary is their land trust. It's out, you know, close to the Tennessee border. And the Cherokee out there are descendants of those who eluded the U.S. Army when it was rounding up the tribe for the Trail of Tears. So they are, in a sense, already survivors, and they've been out there living in this area near the mountains, living their lives and speaking their language for thousands of years. And now they're at a point where the generation of people living today may be among the last to speak it. They may have some of the last fluent speakers after such a long heritage.
So talk about the two Cherokee language teachers you spoke with.
I met two brothers. The younger brother is Jake Eli Swimmer and his older brother, Micah Swimmer. And they both teach Cherokee, but in very different settings. So Jake Eli is in a small public school out in Graham County where enrolled tribal members are the minority. There are just a few students in every class who are members of the tribe. And then his older brother, Micah Swimmer, is working on teaching young adults. And he's doing it inside of an immersion school that serves kids as young as infants. They have a preschool room up until sixth grade. But then now they have this effort to try to teach adults, too, because it's kind of a missing generation where they didn't grow up speaking the language. English is the first language for many of them who are in that age range between their 20s through their 40s, who are parents now, and they're struggling to pass on a language that they're not entirely fluent in.
And he talked about, Micah did, to you, about the difficulty and the urgency, and as he's doing everything he can to stress the urgency of this cause. Let's listen to what he said.
When one would pass away, I would choose somebody different to go and, you know, mark out their name in a red marker just to let them know, like, we're running out of time. You know, we have to do something to fix this. We have to do something to try to save our language because these people aren't going to be here forever. And after a while, I was told to take it down because it kind of started looking like a hit list.
As Michael Swimmer, a Cherokee language instructor, I'm talking about efforts to preserve the Cherokee language now with WUNC education policy reporter Liz Schlemmer. So what are some of the barriers? Why are there so few fluent speakers left?
Well, for one, there was an effort at some point for members to learn English that, you know, it's the modern language, it's the way that you could get a job or succeed in school. And now it's not being spoken in people's homes at their kitchen tables where you get an immersive environment for children. But also, it's very difficult to learn Cherokee from English. They're very different languages. It's not like trying to learn Spanish or French where there are going to be some similarities or some similar words. And Cherokee words are really made up of different parts that transform depending on the subject or the context and usage. So you can't even always get a perfect one-to-one translation, which is why it's difficult to even have a Cherokee dictionary that goes from English to Cherokee.
And the fact, so that really amplifies the need for fluent speakers, people who actually understand the subtle nuance, and there aren't many. As you say, there are about maybe 226 out of nearly 16,000 enrolled members. I want to hear play a clip just so we can get an ear for the language, but also the difficulty in teaching this language if you're not fluent yourself.
She just that she got good history.
A good idea.
A good idea.
Yeah, ganoleg do don. No lay scotch quadic tied.
Yeah, there's a bit of elementary school classroom in the Cherokee language immersion school, and I'm talking to Liz Schlemmer, WNC education policy reporter. What's going on there?
So this is from the new Kadua Academy Immersion School. And that was a little girl in the third or fourth grade who was introducing herself. And then her teacher was responding. And one of the issues here at this immersion school, they were telling me, is that it's harder to get truly fluent speakers to teach all of these classes. Obviously, they're highly conversational, but that teacher there is not an enrolled member of the tribe. She is from a different part of North Carolina and took some classes in college. So trying to create that fully immersive environment is just a struggle these days.
Tell us more about some of the other barriers, because if it's like other cultures who have not come to the United States, but find themselves now in this dominant culture where English is now the dominant language, oftentimes there is, young people are discouraged, or at least in certain generations. Was that any part of the Cherokee experience?
Yeah, that is something that I heard from Jake Lai Swimmer, that one of his former teachers said that when she was a little girl and she was in public school, she spoke Cherokee at home and she didn't speak English very well. And she would take tests in English and get zeros in them, and she didn't understand what the zero was, and she would make little faces in it. She thought it was a face that she could put a smiley face in. So there was that whole era of assimilation. But also, if you imagine trying to speak a language where there are only 226 speakers, this isn't something where you can go take a class at a community college or do Duolingo or Rosetta Stone. The materials just aren't there, and they have to create all of their own material. So as I was walking around this immersion school, you would see games and flashcards and posters on the wall that were all handmade or homemade or made within the tribe.
And as you say, all the more difficult, because this is not exactly a vocabulary-driven language. It's all about nuance and ways in which words reconfigure to create new meaning.
Yeah, I was told that there are Cherokee language dictionaries, but it's difficult because the word's not going to work the same every time. So one teacher created his own. He had this little booklet that he carried around everywhere where he'd written all of his own notes.
Jake Alai and Micah obviously think this is important as part of the larger question of cultural preservation. How important is it to the 16,000 or so enrolled members? Is this an important issue for the Eastern Band?
Well, it's important enough that the tribe supports that immersion school. They support a number of initiatives. But I still also heard from Jake Alai some frustration about how much they're up against and how hard everyone would have to work to move this forward. You can see in his own journey, he started hearing Cherokee from his grandmother when he was a child, and then he took it upon himself. He took Cherokee language in high school, he took it in college, and he started learning word by word and creating that booklet of his. But that's been a decades-long journey, and he's a teacher, and he's still not fluent. So if you can imagine that I think what he's asking is that other people would need to take it on to that extent. It takes years to learn a language, and he even said that he feels like some days there's so much more that he could do to learn and to pass it on to his own daughters.
Well, and you talked about it just a second ago, the fact that he heard it from his grandmother. If you're not hearing it at home, then again, the importance to you of this language and why you would even want to take the time to learn it, it might be a more difficult sell.
Yeah, he talked about how he would try to teach some of these words to his daughters, and that they must have thought, oh, my dad's crazy, he's rambling in some other language, this is nonsense. But now his oldest daughter is in kindergarten and has him as a teacher, and said, she's starting to really capture it and pick it up and have conversations with him.
Well, and he had a great story that he told you about just that.
And so when I'm telling my kids stuff like, get in the car. Yesterday, my little girl in the grocery store over there, and I was telling them, Kena, nula, hurry, quickly, Kena, come here. And my little girl was saying, Kena, to her little sister. So that little bit made my day.
Jake Alai Swimmer talking with education policy reporter Liz Schlemmer. She'll have a full piece on this next week and get a more expanded view on this. But there's something that apparently hit home with you.
Yeah, when I first started reporting this story, I thought, this is going to be this beautiful story where we take listeners away to this new place and learn about the challenges that this really unique group of people face. But when Jake Alai was telling me about his grandma and listening to her speak in fluent, and that he couldn't always understand what she was saying, but he could kind of make it out by context, I just lit up and thought, Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've had that experience too. My grandmother's Mexican American, and she was my main babysitter when I was a little kid, and she would speak to me in Spanish a lot. And I remember that feeling of, I couldn't translate what you're saying, but because you're my grandma, I know you're telling me to put my shoes away, you know, and I know the word for shoes. So I just thought, oh, wow, this is going to be something that a lot of heritage learners will also relate to, the experience of hearing a language when you're a child and being interested in it and then having to take a really long task if you want to learn it yourself.
And apparently they're still hopeful because they're still at it.
They are, and I think they look to that next generation, and they look to every word that they save. That every time that there's a word that they can pass on that someone hasn't heard for a while and they write it down, they capture it, and they start to spread it, that they feel like that is making progress.
Liz Schlemmer is WNC Education Policy Reporter. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Frank.
You can hear the full story that Liz is going to produce on WUNC anyway sometime next week. Just ahead, what is the secret to happiness? It may be stand-up comedy. Paula Poundstone joins us with her singular brand of humor on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.